Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Rai Way 2016 Full Year Results Analyst Conference Call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Giancarlo Benucci, Investor Relator of Rai Way. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Welcome to all of you, and thanks for joining our 2016 Full Year Results Conference Call. As usual, I'm here with Stefano Cicocchi, CEO, and Adalberto Pellegrino, CFO of the company. Let me now hand the call over to Stefano. Stefano, go ahead.
Thank you, Giancarlo. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this conference. It's my duty to bring you through our presentation, where we want to give you a detailed view of what happened in 2016. First of all, let me remind what are the most important areas of our activity within our industrial plan. You know that we are focusing on four areas. The first one is the broadening of the new services to RAI. Then our approach to the digital terrestrial television market, the need, the wish to increase the number of multiplexes that we manage. On the telco side, we want to increase the tower appeal of our infrastructure for our telco customers. And finally, we want to obviously continue to focus on the increase of our operating efficiency. During 2016, we have reached a number of good goals with our major customer, which is Ryan. I will detail it something better later. We have also increased the number of regional partners that are using our infrastructure and our activities for the delivery of their TV channels, as well as invested a lot of effort in increasing our presence on the telco market, mainly through a couple of activities. So the most important is obviously the new agreement with Elo that we described before, early to the market. You know, the Elo is one of the most important fixed wireless access provider in Italy, as well as to definitely join the LoRa technology as one of the most suitable in our network for the provisioning of IoT services. And by this point of view, we have decided to join the LoRa Alliance to clearly demonstrate to the market our interest in this field of operation. And then a number of actions on the front of the operational efficiency that we have increased through the voluntary layoff program, which is ongoing, the rationalization of the some intercompany expenses, as well as reaching in advance our target in terms of maintenance capex. If I can now give you some more detail in terms of what we are doing with RAI, you know that RAI is more focusing on its nature of a media company, having in first and most important view the necessity to be a universal service with the quality and the multi-platform approach. For these needs, we have organized our activities in different ways with new services for the improvement of coverage of the major multiplex, the national one, the more or less 100% coverage, which is the first multiplex. Then we are now starting the extension of coverage of the other multiplexes that are used by RAI for other journalistic programs. And we have also took in our hands the complete distribution of the RAI TV programs abroad. In terms of quality, we have helped the customer in extending the HD offer consistently with the available bandwidth for what concerns the digital terrestrial distribution and also focusing on the satellite distribution that isn't such a constraint but represents nevertheless an important effort in terms of activities that has to be carried out to guarantee the complete HD offer available on satellites. And this is the so-called all HD channel software that we have signed and realized within 2016. And finally, we have been involved in the development of the multi-platform approach of RAI that represents, let me say, the complementary way to distribute TV radio signals using web infrastructure, and by this point of view we have been involved through the modernization and extension of our distribution network, fiber optic distribution network, where we have invested in terms of new events and the development of the content delivery network that it will be used for this. So the main new initiatives for RAI in 2016, we have finalized some contracts, RAI Sport, the second RAI Sport channel HD for Rio 2016, additional HDG channels on satellite, the full HD offer I was mentioning before. We were involved in the exploitation of an ad hoc network in the Valle d'Aosta region for the French-speaking minorities carrying all the transmission in French language coming from foreign countries. Then we were active in padding up some frequencies for the first multiplex, increasing the bandwidth for the satellite contribution network, which is used by Obivan operations, and then we were involved in the most important sport events of EuroCup 2016 and the Formula 1 GP of 2016. The advanced negotiation at the end of CDN, as I said before, the extension of the other multiplexes, and some new tidying up of frequencies in other Italian regions following the reorganization of the frequency plan in our country. For what concern our activity in the broadcasting field, but not devoted to RAI, I want to underline the very recent agreement that we signed with the Norba Group. It's a very important commercial contract that we signed with the most important regional broadcasting operator of Italy. If I can briefly summarize the situation, you know that we have some national channels in Italy, mainly managed by RAI, the Mediaset Group, Persideran, and some small national operator, and then we have the ocean of the regional operators. The most important one is Norba, with Telenorba and Radio Norba, which are active in the southern east part of the country, in Puglia, Molise, and Basilicata. With this contract that we signed, we are now the, let me say, infrastructure operator for all the Norba Group, with a contract valid till the 2032. With this contract, we have also acquired 30 broadcasting sites that were in the hands of Norba through their controller company, Sud Engineering, that is now 100% owned by Rai Way. The enterprise value paid is in the order of 8.8 million euro, and with the contribution in terms of EBITDA is around 1.1 million euro pro forma, obviously post synergies. And this means that we have an implied multiple of 8 times, which in my mind represent a very good result for this deal. So, and the deal is in line with industrial plan drivers and financial targets. So we are now carrying out two generalist DVT TV channels, one all new satellite and DTT channel, obviously for the terrestrial part, as well as the radio networks. I would also underline that this is the most important, the first, but also the most important M&A activity of Rai Way in 2016, which represents a very important goal also in terms of the complexity of such a deal, because it's, as you can easily imagine, it's extremely more complicated activity like this in the broadcasting environment, environment when compared with an equivalent telco one. Let me spend some few words on efficiencies. We, in terms of utilities, we have realized some good results in terms of energy costs, with stable consumption despite the introduction of new services. On the personnel side, our headcount that was 638 people at the year end of 2014, now we are 609 people at the 1st of January this year. Then we have started to insource some of the administrative activities, and we are also rationalizing some real estate rents with RAI. This is a sort of intercompany efficiency, let me say. And finally, as I said before, we have already spent a lot of effort in rationalizing our CapEx spending related to the active and passive infrastructure. And this allows us to pass from €21 million at the end of 2014 down to €16.2 million at the end of 2016. The most important financial highlights are the one depicted on page 9. So core revenues increased to €2,015.2 million, plus 1.4%. The adjusted EBITDA reached €111.3 million, plus 1.8%. The net income with a plus 7.4% is now at €41.8 million. Capital expenditure, as I said before, are now targeting the long-term level with a reduction of the sum of the both development and maintenance capex from the €30.1 million of 2015 down to €19.5 million at the end of 2016. Net debt is at €9.4 million. The cash conversion continues to remain very interesting at 85.5%. And the dividend proposal is of 15.37 euro per share, with a payout ratio of 100% of the net income, with a dividend yield of 3.5%, obviously related to the price of our stock at the closing of 8 March 2017, that was 4.3 euro per share. So now I would like to pass to Adalberto the duty to give you some more detail on our financial items.
Thank you, Stefano. Good afternoon, everybody. So let's now focus on the trend of our core revenues. Revenues from RAI, slide 10, are about 3 million higher than 2015 figures, reaching a total amount of 180.5 million euro, of which 4.2 related to new services provided to RAI, almost half related to the new contribution network we launched in the beginning of the year. As already mentioned in our last call, the other recurring, the other most relevant recurring project include the so-called MUX Francophono and the international distribution service for RAICOM. Then we have approximately €1 million coming from one-off project, mainly related to events such as the contribution services related to the European Football Cup and the Olympic Games. In 2015, you may recall, new services from RAI were lower since first additional services started to be sold to RAI in Q3 2015 in relation to the distribution service offered in the context of Expo, the Universal Exposition held in Milan in 2015. Let's go to the following slide. Revenue from parties are equal to €34.7 million, 0.3% lower compared to 2015 figures. The variance is related to tower rental revenues, and in particular is due to the MNO component. The negative variance from MNO is partially offset by the improvement of revenues from the fixed wireless access player and broadcasting customers, thanks to the contract with Eolo that has been renewed in 2016, and thanks to new initiatives put in place with TV and radio operators. Total revenues from other services are broadly flat. Let's go to the following slide. Operating expenses amounted to €104.4 million in 2016, excluding the impact of one-off costs amounting €6.8 million, mainly due to incentives for the voluntary layoff program mentioned by Stefano. Operating expenses increased by 1% vis-à-vis 2015 figures, of which about €500,000 due to personnel costs and other €500,000 related to the other operating costs. personal costs are equal to 46.6 million euro in the 12 months of 2016, which is an increase of about 1% due to lower capitalization and to a different allocation of travel costs vis-à-vis 2015 figures. The voluntary layoff program is giving interesting results, even above the original expectation. One employee left the company in Q2 2016, 21 in Q3, and 13 on the 1st of January of this year. The layoffs will continue during 2017, continuing to improve the company's efficiency. The workforce at the end of December 2016 amounted to 622 units and reaching 609, taking into account people who left the company on the 1st of January, as shown in the slide mentioned by Stefano. Other operating costs amounted 57.7 million euro, with an increase of half million over the previous year figures, mainly driven by maintenance costs and lower level of prior year adjustment. Excluding these impacts, other operating costs decreased by almost 1% due to lower cost on utilities and service rendered by RAI that offset some additional costs due to new services. Anyway, for a better understanding of the cost figures, let's go to the following slide where we may see some more details. So slide 13, you may see the adjusted EBITDA bridge from 2015 and 2016. We already talked about revenues that justify an EBITDA increase of about 3 million euro. So let's focus on OPEX. Personal costs, as we said, excluding capitalized costs and travel expenses, are 0.4 million euro lower than 2015. As concerns other OPEX, as you should recall, in Q4 2015, we mentioned we had a positive impact of about 1 million euro due to prior year adjustment and 0.4 million euro due to maintenance activities. Now, in 2016, this component have an opposite impact on 2016 EBITDA, as you may see in the pink box on the right of the chart related to the prior year adjustment. And if you also see the second box of the other operating cost area related to maintenance, minus 0.9. So let me also underline that maintenance activities are also impacted by some new costs related to new services rendered to RAI. So, excluding these impacts, you may see in the chart a positive impact in terms of saving and efficiencies of about 1.4 million euro as sum of utilities plus 0.6 million euro due to the new contract effective from Q2 2015 with a better pricing. Service rendered by RAI, plus 1 million euro due to reduction of costs related to the administrative service rendered by our shareholder as a consequence of the insourcing of some administrative activities, and some other efficiencies on the rental paid for our offices. Then minus 0.2 million euro due to other OPEX. So the adjusted EBITDA reach 111.3 million euro in 2016. So let's now go to the following slide, slide 14, and let's focus on the profit and loss from the EBITDA to the net income. We already talked about all the figures above the EBITDA, above the adjusted EBITDA, sorry. So let me talk about the impact of about 6.8 million euro of one-off costs that are mainly related to the voluntary layoff incentives, and this amount is 3.3 million euro higher than the value reported in Q3 due to the accrual referred to people that we expect will leave the company in 2017. Below the EBITDA, the positive trend of the D&A, including provision, is confirmed with a decrease of about 7 million euro vis-à-vis last year figures, as a result of two main impacts. On top of the physiological reduction of the DNA due to the progressive full depreciation of the CapEx spent before 2012, of course in the context of the switch off from the analog to the DTT platform, and this is the first positive impact, 2016 figures are also positively impacted by a new depreciation rate on the CapEx related to our transmission network, with a positive impact of 4.8 million euro on the 2016 figures. In this way, we better align the depreciation rate to the real life of our asset, also in line with market benchmarks. Tax rate show a low increase vis-à-vis 2015 figures. We are now at 34.1% as a result of the new tax rate effective starting from 2017 that, of course, will have a positive impact in 2017, but as concerned 2016 figures, we have a limited negative impact on the 2016 tax rate, something one-off. Net income reached almost 42 million euro with an increase of 7.4% vis-à-vis 2015 figures. So we may now go to slide 15. The net debt of Rai Way moved from 42 million at the end of 2015 to 9 million at the end of December 2016, with a solid cash flow generation from the operation due to the high cash conversion rate of our EBITDA, that allow to more than offset the cash out related to the payment of our dividends. Last slide, net invested capital, I'm commenting slide 16, last slide from my side, net invested capital amount 171 million euro at the end of December 2016, and it is financed for 9 million euro by net debt and for around 162 million euro by equity.
Ecco, Alberto, and just to conclude a few words on the 2017 outlook, the adjusted EBITDA will continue to grow following the trajectory of recent years, while the capital expenditure, the maintenance capex, will remain in line with the long-term target.
Okay, we can now start with the Q&A session.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Mr. Fabio Pavan of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, and thank you for taking my question. The first one is on your full year guidance. I was wondering if you can provide us some indication about contribution that may come from new services from RAI on full year 17, and also if you go into some more detail about the expectation for year-end net debt again for 17. And the second question is related to the recent article we have seen on potential consolidation in the broadcasting tower space. There is any comment or something that you can share with us on this point? Thank you very much.
Fabio, could you please say again the first question? The line was really bad.
The first question is the contribution that we may expect for 17 from new services from RAI.
Okay, great, thank you. So let's start from this. We can say that 2017 will be an important year for the company in terms of negotiations. We expect to have important negotiations, and depending on the timing of this negotiation, we could have impact both starting from the end of this year or by the beginning of the following year. So this is what we can say about the RAI revenues.
taking into consideration then that the new project that we will sort to ride during the year, of course, will be able to offset the one-off, the amount of the one-off project that we had in 2016 that amounted approximately €1 million.
Fabio, it's my duty to answer your second question, and thank you very much for it, because let me say it's quite expected, to be honest. And you give me the chance to elaborate a bit on the matter, trying to answer in advance to all the related upcoming questions. I imagine that also other guys are thinking about the same things. We clearly understand that this is a topic of the utmost importance for all you. But as in the past, we are not going to comment press reports or statements, or in some cases, let me say, wishes not coming from our company. In particular, considering that there are listed companies involved. Let me stress again that in the last couple of years, we have been fully focused on delivering what we promised at the time of the IPO and in our industrial plan. In terms of business expansion, efficiencies, organizational model, and generally speaking, we did our best to match all the market best practices in every activity. So we've done a brilliant job so far, let me say, as clearly demonstrated by the result that we are presenting today. But we know that there is still a lot to do. We have never denied, nevertheless, the rationale of consolidation in our sector. It's a rationale that, however, needs to be properly addressed in all its aspects. But this is something, Fabio, that goes beyond Rai Way and the Eye Towers, if I can call them. It's something typical for an infrastructural company, and let me also say something that we are already pursuing in our effort to consolidate the regional market. As I said before, the agreement with Terranova is a clear demonstration of it. It's a consistent way with the long-term view that we have shared with you in the past. In this context, I think that it's our duty to monitor the operational and technical aspects and implications of any option. I mean, in this context, a context of accessing all the potential drivers for industrial and financial value creation. I sincerely hope, let me say two times, I sincerely hope that this is enough to satisfy your curiosity, also because we are not going to elaborate more on this today or to answer further question on this topic. Thanks, Fabio.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
The next question is from Perrin Shah of Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, guys. Now, I appreciate what you've just said about not wanting to comment further on this. The problem is that we've sat here looking at the screens and your share price is up 50% since the end of November. Clearly, part of this is due to a degree of speculation in terms of the market rather than maybe an evaluation of your company on a more fundamental basis. So, I mean, what I would maybe suggest is if you have any further comments on that, any further clarification on this potential deal, clearly it's transformative, that would be appreciated. And my second question, just on the CapEx, it's a little bit lumpy in terms of, you know, versus consensus. Your net debt is clearly far lower versus what consensus had there. And it is due to the growth CapEx. So are we assuming that 2017 will be a year where growth CapEx will be higher and subsequently revenues, earnings realized late 17 and 2018? And then just in terms of the full run rate for new services, what is the exit rate out of Q4? So what exactly is the new services revenue we might expect for this year? Thank you.
Let me first of all say that for your first question, we prefer not to add more comments to what I said before. For your second question, I would ask Adalberto, maybe to give you some clarification.
Yes, of course, our net debt is expected to continue to decrease also in 2017, and this, as you know and as you mentioned, will be of course impacted by the level of our development capex. For sure, we will have an increase due to the acquisition described by Stefano, the deal with the deal with Swed Engineering Telenorba, and on top of this, then we will have the impact coming from the new services that we will have to offer to RAI. As I mentioned, answering to the question of Fabio, we do not give precise guidance in terms of development capex from RAI and new revenues from additional services that we will offer to RAI during the current year. And as I mentioned, let me underline that this year will be an important year in terms of in terms of negotiations. So depending from the timing of this negotiation, we will see if we will have an impact at the end of 2017, some additional impact in terms of additional capex, and so with some delay, additional revenues. But this, again, will depend by negotiation, and we will see during the year.
Thank you. Can I just follow up really quickly on other tower assets in your regional acquisition policy? I mean, the multiple here is, you know, including synergy, fair enough, the synergies are easy to realize, but excluding those, it's more like 15 times, which is a little bit toppy, I would suggest. So if you're out there in the market acquiring additional assets like this one, are you still going to be paying a similar multiple?
The multiple was eight times, and this is the only value that we are disclosing. The other figures, I don't, maybe there is something wrong. Maybe we can double check later. Anyway, the official number is eight times, and when we mention the comparison with the business plan, you have to compare this multiple of eight times with a multiple of 10 times that was the target in our business plan. So we are perfectly in line, even better than our business plan.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
The next question is from Domenico Ghilotti of Equita. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. Three questions. The first is on the guidance. Is it fair to assume that 2017 EBITDA should be more cost-driven than top-line driven, just as a qualitative indication? And second is on the regional MUX acquisition. Can you help us in understanding, so really the synergies, for example, and the mechanism that you are envisaging in the contract? So apart from the duration of the contract, also, so what is the level of recurring revenues that you are adding and the kind of synergies that you are extracting? And the third question is a follow-up in the sense that on your comments on the consolidation of the market, you said that is your duty to monitor the market. I'd like to understand if you are appointing some advisors in order to help you monitor in the market.
So let me start for the quality indication about 2017 guidance. You're right, the increase in EBITDA will be mainly cost-driven. You are perfectly right, even if, of course, we will do all the best in order to work also on the top line. And talking about some more figures about the deal that Stefano mentioned, especially referring to synergies. Here, synergies are coming mainly from the possibility to use our infrastructure rather than infrastructure of third parties.
And these, of course, taking into account that our network is, as you know, super capillary. We are present in all the regions, and also, of course, in the region of South Italy. But there are also some synergies in terms of some additional value that we can have from acquiring new sites with onboard new contracts.
New sites with onboard new contracts with
okay. customers.
Okay.
Then we have also synergies in terms of eliminating one cost that we have towards this company, because consolidating and acquiring this company, we can eliminate a cost that we have on a yearly basis of about €500,000, because our infrastructure in part was rented as we had some rents in place with this company, and so in this way we are acquiring sites where we paid a fee till last year.
Okay.
So this is an overview of the synergies. On the top line, we do not give guidance about the amount of the contract that we signed.
But you are adding some so maintenance agreements or so.
Yes, of course.
And on the last question?
On the last question, I understand your curiosity. Let me repeat that we are monitoring the operational and technical aspects and implications. And when I say we, I mean Rai Way. And because we are Rai Way, I can assure you that we have all the competences which are needed to make these activities. With or without advisors, it doesn't make any difference. So the important is that Rai Way is monitoring. Let me answer this way. I hope it's sufficient for you. Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
The next question is from Mr. Robert Berg of Berenberg. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, yeah, thanks. A couple of questions from me. They're both about, you know, the impact of things that happened in Q4 and ongoing kind of costs in 2017. The first on depreciation and the new useful life, how should we think about any impact on depreciation from 2017 onwards? Is it a small decrease or a larger decrease? And that would be useful. And secondly, the €3 million you spent on the voluntary layoff program in Q4, should we expect the savings in 2017 on an underlying basis of your personnel costs to be kind of greater than the €3 million, less than €3 million? How should we think about the underlying personnel costs going forward?
So, talking about D&A, we had, I mentioned, a positive impact of €4.8 million in 2016. We will have also a lower impact in the next 2-3 years, and then of course we will have the reverse impact of the change in the depreciation rate. In terms of trend of our D&A, we should expect that figures will continue to decrease. We will have a little bit of higher positive impact also in 2016 by this new depreciation rate between 2 and 3 million only coming from this new depreciation rate. And that's it for your question, if okay for you, on the D&A. The second question, sorry, can you repeat the second question, please?
Yeah, I was saying you spent 3 million in the P&L on the a voluntary layoff program
yes.
as an exceptional cost. How should we think about the benefit you will get in 2017 from those leaving on the 1st of January? Or
we can assume that people should, on average, leave the company at the mid-year. So we will see, and I will give you update during the next conference call, but for the time being you can assume on average that people will leave June, July.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
The next question is from Giles Thorne of Jefferies. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. I had a couple of questions, please. I wanted to come back to the M&A question, but actually not discuss any particular imminent transaction. It's a hypothetical question that looks further out. And imagine for a second that you have completed a merger with the ITAS, and the cost and the efficiency synergies are all realized. Once you are that larger, more scaled, and more financially capable TowerCo, and assuming you're the management team that that survives this transition, do you then just sit back and reach the end of the story, or is there any ambition there to pursue a more expansionist type approach like we've seen at Cellnex? So I suppose my question is hypothetical merger ambitions post-merger. Secondly, there's been a lot of positive publicity around the Italian press around how the TV license fee collection has improved since it was embedded in utility bills, and Antonello Giacomelli has spoken of an additional 2 billion euros of funding. Are you seeing any of this accelerating the new services coming from Rai, or increasing the scope of the new services from Rai, or is this really all about just reducing Rai's reliance on advertising? Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Let me comment that your first question is very, very hypothetical. So hypothetical that it's impossible to answer. This is the only way I can manage it. For what concerns the effect, the impact of the license fee in the electricity bill, well, obviously it represents an opportunity for Rai, and also represents an opportunity for Rai Way. We expect that there will be some request of a further development of the already activities that, sorry, of the activities that we have already in place in the extension of the coverage of the services. Up to now, the agreement between the government and Rai was to guarantee a sort of universal access only to the first DTT multiplex, the one that carries the national TV programs and the regionalized one. Probably there will be an acceleration in the request of extending also the other multiplexes, more or less trying to reach also in this case a sort of universal coverage. Rai Way is obviously ready to put all his organization to work deeply on the matter. I would also I would like also to remind that the concept of universal coverage can in principle be achieved also through the integration of the terrestrial coverage with the satellite one. So we expect that on the right side there will be a deep investigation in terms of the benefits and costs in the decision, the trade-off between these two technologies. But in any case, what you said is correct. We expect at least an acceleration in the investment for coverage. Thanks.
Understood. Can I just come back and challenge you on your first answer, because it doesn't feel hypothetical at all. I mean, we have all been discussing broadcast tower consolidation in Italy for many years. So to suggest that what happens after that's been delivered is hypothetical is, I don't know, it's just not credible. So either, well, you can just tell me to shut up and move on, or you can give a sense of what the discussions are around what comes next after that merger has been delivered, because I'm sure there's many people listening to this call who would look at your current share price and see that the appreciation that there's been and wonder what comes next and how do I discount that. perhaps you're just going to tell me to shut up and move on.
Judge, I apologize, but it depends to from so many variables that it's really impossible to give you an answer today.
Understood. Thank okay. You. Thank you.
The next question is from Thomas Vandermeij of Kempen. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening, gentlemen. Actually, one follow-up on external growth. What is the maximum amount of debt that you could attract? Is there like a maximum net debt EBITDA level that you could reach? I mean, not where you feel comfortable. What is like at least for in the short term allows you to raise funds for potential due?
Of course, we do not have any flexibility to change our net debt. We cannot pay an extraordinary dividend for a huge amount that can change our capital structure. Having said that, this is a business with high visibility of revenues, solid cash flow. So, of course, the proper target net debt to EBITDA ratio for a business like this is at least three times the EBITDA. But theoretically, then looking at the company, we have to consider that we do not have the possibility to pay any extraordinary dividends, and we will have so this financial flexibility that will allow us to make any small M&A, any investment in the business, and so on.
Okay, just to follow up, you said at least three times net debt EBITDA, but what's the maximum that you could do?
Maximum, I said at least three times, on the maximum something more, but depends from many variables.
Could you give a ballpark figure there?
No, sorry.
Okay, thanks.
We have a follow-up question from Mr. Robert Berg of Berenberg. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, yes. Sorry if you did mention it and I missed it. But you put in your kind of highlights for the year of the proposed new plan for the purchase and disposal of treasury shares. Is there anything particular behind that, or is it just something that you just would like to have? I'm just wondering your thoughts on that.
Just flexibility that we prefer to keep. We did the same last year, and we are confirming the same stuff that we did last year. That's it.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
We have a follow-up question from Mr. Domenico Ghilotti of Equita. Please go ahead, sir.
I have a question on the consolidation opportunities on the broadcast side. So I try to understand if a consolidation in the market requires also that basically the business model is the same. So if you are really managing also the active infrastructure, do you think that to have really a proper consolidation and the best consolidation possible, you need to consolidate also the active infrastructure management?
Domenico, thank you. I think that there are very different models that we can apply, so it's not mandatory to have the active components with the passive one or not. For what Rai Way does every day, obviously we need the active components because we have a turnkey contract with Rai, and so the active components on that side are on our hands, but it doesn't matter, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, Mr. Benucci, there are no questions registered at this time.
Okay, thanks a lot for joining the call.
Thank you very much, and bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.